Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today we talk about the partnership between Alfa Romeo and Sauber F1, as well as the driver lineup for 2018. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Virgil. Hello everyone to episode 66 of the Fastest Lap podcast. So yeah, we planned to do our award ceremony episode this week, but yes, Sauber and Alfa Romeo had some other plans as they announced two important things last week. So basically, first of all, they announced a title sponsorship partnership between the two companies, and that basically means that Sauber will enter the 2018 championship as Alfa Romeo Sauber F1. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's great news because we already know that Red Bull will have Aston Martin as their title sponsor. So, you know, to have these two really big manufacturer names coming into the sport once again, I mean, even if it is just as a title sponsor, but, you know, all the same, it's fantastic news. Yeah, I mean, Alfa Romeo haven't been in the sport since the 70s, I think. They've been rather unsuccessful in Formula One. But, yeah, I mean, there was rumours going around for a long time over whether they would be joining up with Sauber or something like that. And, yeah, it's a deal that I welcome greatly because, yeah, like I said, it's just fantastic to have the more big manufacturers in the sport.
And of course, we shouldn't forget that Alfa Romeo is a company from the Fiat group, which means Ferrari is on board basically. And yeah, we know that 2018 Sauber will get the current, the 2018 Ferrari engine, which is, or I think, a very big boost for their performance, as they really struggled with the 2016 Ferrari engine this season. So yeah, that's going to help them, but I'm not sure, are they also using more Ferrari parts, as maybe Haas is doing? I don't think that's included in the deal, right?
I haven't heard anything certainly like that. And actually, it's interesting that you mention Haas, because it's sort of interesting to see where Haas go from here. We always sort of saw Haas as a Ferrari B team of sorts when they first came into the sport, because they were running with a lot of Ferrari parts and they had used the Ferrari wind tunnel. And yeah, now, you know, Alfa Romeo have signed up with Sauber, and like you mentioned, they're owned by Fiat Chrysler, who also owns Ferrari. So yeah, it'll be very interesting to see where Haas go from this, but as I'm aware, I don't think Sauber will be using any Ferrari parts. But yeah, they will be using a Ferrari junior driver, of course, and I mean, that was...
I just wanted to say we don't want to count him as a part.
No. Well, I mean, you could, probably one of the most important parts of the car. Yeah, I mean, Charles Leclerc was rumoured to be getting in the seat for a long, long time, and when he was announced, I don't really think it was a very big surprise.
No, it wasn't, but I think 99% of the people were happy to see him. Well, maybe a few more people were not happy, because it also meant that Pascal Wehrlein didn't get a seat for 2018, but we can talk about that a bit later. But yeah, I'm very happy to see Charles Leclerc in a Formula One car in 2018, and I mean, he deserved it. I watched, I think, yeah, I, th- I, I watched 90% of the F2 races this season, and it was just a joy to watch him. I mean, his overtakes, his performance in qualifying in the race, it was especially after the start, you know, in the first lap, those overtakes were just incredible. And I remember I asked you like a few or last week whether I should watch the replay of the second F2 race, the sprint race in Abu Dhabi, and I did. And that last lap overtake of Leclerc, although he touched, I think it was Albon, he touched him a bit. It was just amazing to see him squeeze his car through on the inside, outbrake his rival, and you can just see that there's so much talent in the car. And yeah, I think we can expect some great things from him next season.
Yeah, well, you know, he's jumping into a whole new world. I've been watching Leclerc for quite a while. I remember him in Formula 3 and then in GP3. And, you know, in Formula 3, he was pretty good. And his 1 year in GP3, where he won the championship back in 2016, he was pretty good. But, you know, he didn't really stand out massively. The championship went down to the wire between him and Albon, actually, in 2016. But yeah, I mean, this year in Formula 2, he's just pretty much blitzed the competition. And some of his performances, I mean, probably the biggest standout performance from him is Bahrain, where he came back in the last number of laps from, I'm not quite sure where he was in the race, but yeah, he went on to win it, I believe. So yeah,
wasn't he 14th after his pit stop or something?
It could something be, yeah, I think that might be correct. It was somewhere around there anyway. But you know, he's jumping into a whole new world. He's been racing in spec series for him, and you know, he does definitely have a lot of talent, but it's going to be a lot tougher to show, I think, in Formula 1, especially in the Sauber, which I don't think we can expect to challenge too much. But maybe, who knows, with the Ferrari, with the upgrade, the up-to-date Ferrari engine in the back of the car.
Exactly. I mean, you said, who knows, maybe we can talk a bit about that as well in our team review episode, which will, as last year, go out somewhere between, I don't know, Christmas, New Year, whenever. But yeah, who knows? I mean, a new Ferrari engine. And also, I think after the new owners took over at Sauber, they did some restructuring and so on. And from then on, I would say they focused purely on developing the new 2018 car. So I would think that, they might battle. I'm not sure whether they can score some points, but I don't think they will be like the clear last runner of the field. I think they will fight like in the middle of the middle field. Let's put it that way. But yeah, it's always a bit of a tricky task, of course, for a driver to show his talent in a car that isn't as good as the Red Bull, Mercedes or Ferrari. But, I mean, we saw it with Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, he started his Formula 1 career at HRT, which, as we all know, wasn't the greatest team. But still, he ended up in a Red Bull and is regarded as one of the best drivers on the grid. So, yeah, what do you think about the team choice? Or it wasn't maybe not the choice of Charles Leclerc, but the choice of Ferrari. Do you think, in terms of driver development, Sauber is a good team for him?
Well, I think it's kind of the only team for him, the only option for him. He's not really going to find himself anywhere else. I mean, maybe there was a hope opening at Haas. But yeah, I don't think Leclerc's going to mind too much what team he's at in his first season of Formula 1. He's going to be pretty happy to get to Formula 1. And who knows? I mean, I don't think the Sauber next year can be as bad as the one this year. Solely based, I mean, off the up-to-date engine that they'll have, and you know, they have a new management structure with Frédéric Vasseur there, who's very, very experienced. So yeah, I mean, I think it if a driver has enough talent and is worthy of going on to great things, he can definitely show it no matter what team he's at, whether it be at the front or the back. I mean, just look at Fernando Alonso this year. I mean, I know that Alonso was already a established driver, but you know, he was in a much lesser car, and yet there were several times throughout the season when he put in some spectacular performances. So yeah, I think if Leclerc really does have it, he'll be able to show it in that car.
Yeah, good point actually. And now going on to the second driver, they announced both drivers, of course, in that event, where they also announced the Alfa Romeo partnership. And the second driver is Marcus Ericsson. We all know that the backers of Marcus Ericsson are having close ties to the owners of the Sauber team. So it wasn't a huge surprise to see him confirmed for the 2018 season still. And also, I just want to say, I don't think that he necessarily is the worst driver of the grid or something, you know. Surely he has got some talent. Without talent, you don't get a seat in Formula One in the first place. But still, I think the sad thing to see is really Pascal Wehrlein being without a cockpit for 2018, as we all think that Wehrlein is one of the great talents, maybe of this generation.
Yeah, I think, you know, Ericsson's announcement wasn't really a big surprise. It was expected because of his backers at Sauber, but I mean, I don't really understand all the hate for Ericsson. I mean, this is going to be his fifth year in Formula One, and he spent every year at a backmarker team, and that's got to be tough. I mean, he was at Caterham, and then he was at Sauber for a number of years, and I mean, I know in 2015 the Sauber wasn't too bad, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I it's definitely a shame that Wehrlein doesn't have a seat for next year, and Giovinazzi, who is of course Sauber's third driver for the year. But you know, I think the simple fact is Mercedes and Ferrari simply just didn't pay enough to get Wehrlein in at the team, Wehrlein or Giovinazzi in at the team. And yeah, I think that says a lot, and I wonder now if Wehrlein could actually be dropped completely by Mercedes, because you know, I don't know where else there is for him. I mean, he could always return to DTM, but we know that 2018 will be Mercedes's last year in DTM. So yeah, I think it's a real shame for Wehrlein, because he has had some standout performances. But yeah, I think in Ericsson's case, maybe he can prove himself against Leclerc and get some points in, but I really don't understand all the hate, because as we've already said, it's difficult to show your talent when you're stuck at the back of the grid. So yeah, but definitely it's a huge shame that Wehrlein won't be in Formula One next year.
Yeah, I agree with all points, and interesting thought there that Mercedes could drop Wehrlein in the future maybe, but yeah the thing is, who else do they have? Oh, I just remembered, they do have George Russell, so could be a bit of a problem really for Wehrlein. I see, yeah, George Russell coming through the junior series, Wehrlein not having a Formula One cockpit, not a DTM cockpit, as you said. Yeah, really difficult times, and yeah, sometimes it just doesn't work out for you. I mean, we have another example in Formula One with Fernando Alonso, who also made some moves in his career that weren't the greatest, but well, at least he still has a Formula One cockpit. So yeah, a lot can happen in Formula One, and it can happen quickly. So, yeah, it will be interesting to see those two, Ericsson and Leclerc, fighting it out in the 2018 season. And one thing, or one thing I read on social media I wanted to ask you. People are interpreting the Alfa Romeo sponsorship differently. Some say, oh, it's more like it shows that Ferrari will stay in the sport and they are now committed. They're putting money in with Ferrari and they're putting money in with Alfa Romeo. Surely they will stay. And other people are claiming, yeah, that's one of the exit strategies with Alfa Romeo. They do have one brand of the Fiat company in the sport, so they can pull out with Ferrari. What do you think? Do you think it has anything to do with what might happen with Ferrari in the future? Or, yeah, what's your opinion on that?
Well, the two arguments that you just pointed out are very valid, and they both have some good points to them. But, you know, Sergio Marchionne said at the Sauber launch event that Ferrari's threats are very serious and they're still very real. And, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. It's hard to tell, especially this early. We know that Ferrari have... Well, we think Ferrari are considering quitting the sport. And sure, if they do leave, then Alfa Romeo's there. But, you know, they're tied in with Sauber. And Sauber, well, right now, are a backmarker team. And I'm not really sure if that's how the Fiat Chrysler wants to be represented in Formula One. You know, maybe next year Sauber won't be at the back of the field, but they're certainly not going to be at the front where Ferrari are and where Ferrari should be. You know, there's no weight of expectation on Sauber to get to the front. So I don't know if it really has much to do with it at all, but certainly in the two arguments that you pointed out, there are some valid points. But yeah, I mean, at this stage, it's just a bit early to tell.
So, yeah, will be interesting in the coming years. But yeah, that announcement basically means we do have 19 drivers announced for 2018, and just one driver is really missing. I mean, come on, Williams, just tell us who it will be, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're all expecting it's going to be Kubica, but what I'm hearing is that there were some complications at the test and Kubica didn't really perform to how Williams wanted, I suppose.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, apparently so, because if that was the case, then, you know, the deal would have been pretty much done already, and it's not. And they're taking all their time, they're analysing all the data, making sure that they have it all of planned out and just have it all laid out in front of them so they have a clear view of who should get the seat. But I think Kubica very much remains the favourite for the seat. But you know, there's been a lot of talk of, you know, are they only running him because of a PR stunt? I don't think so. And then, you know, people saying that, oh, they should just announce him anyway, because if they don't, it's going to be a lot of bad publicity for them. Which I heavily disagree with, because Williams has never ever hyped up all the stuff around Kubica. It's all been the fans and the media that has done it. Williams hasn't done it themselves at all. They've just put him into the car to test. So I think if he does not get announced and the fans are outraged at Williams, I think they only have themselves to blame for getting so hyped up about it. But yeah, I you know, there's still a number of contenders there. Sorokin apparently is in contention, but I don't think so, because we know that Williams want an experienced driver. And that Sorokin Stroll lineup, I don't think, would be very good for them, having two very inexperienced drivers. But hopefully we'll get an announcement pretty soon, because we've been waiting for this for quite a while now.
Absolutely. But one thing that is for sure is that we will inform you as soon as we do know more stuff about that second seat at Williams. And of course, we will maybe put out Qubits R maybe episode or second seat at Williams episode between the team reviews whenever they will announce it. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting topic as well, and who knows what will come up between now and the next year. So yeah, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode, and yeah, there's no much more to say than goodbye.